الحمد لله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم والشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد When we assess what does it mean to be a Muslim. What does it mean that we have this deen, this religion called Islam? Unfortunately, some people, they get the concept that Islam, since it means submission, the idea is that Muslims are therefore people who are submitted, i.e. passive, apathetic, perhaps inactive. And this is not only wrong, but it couldn't be further from the truth. The term Islam, yes indeed, that means submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in your submission to Allah, that does not mean that you simply sit back and you are passive in your circumstances. And in order to demonstrate this, we need to first look at, inshallah ta'ala, some of our heroes, some of our role models, certain exemplary individuals to demonstrate and to show just how much we're supposed to strive. So one example is Musa alayhi salam, Moses, Musa alayhi salam. We find that throughout his life, he always wanted to be number one. He always wanted to be first in everything that he did. We see what? وَمَا أَعْجَلَكَ عَنْ قَوْمِكَ يَا مُوسَىٰ قَالَ هُمْ أُولَاءِ عَلَىٰ أَثَرِي وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِتَرْضَىٰ We find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Taha that Musa alayhi salam was moving with the children of Israel and they were supposed to go to a certain appointed place. And Musa alayhi salam, he hurried, he rushed, he wanted to go faster. He wanted to speed up, and he in fact separated from his group. He couldn't wait, he couldn't go as slow as everybody else. He wanted to rush, why? So he could meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he could get to that appointed place and spend more time with Allah. So he could speak with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that that is his desire when it comes to obeying the commands of Allah. That he was asked, what made you hasten, O Musa? He said, they're close upon my tracks. No, they're just right behind me. He responds and said, they're just right behind me. But I hasten to you, O Lord, so that you can be pleased with me. I just want you to be happy with me. And I'm first in that. I want to be number one in that. I want to rush to you the most. We find that Musa alayhi salam, when he was once asked, who is the most knowledgeable person on earth? And he said, well, I'm a prophet of Allah, so it must be me. And then Allah revealed to him, no, there's somebody else who has more knowledge than you. And the moment he found out about that, what was his reaction? وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ لَا أَبْرَحُ حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبًا That he says, and mentioned when Moses said to his servant, he said to Yusha bin Nun, عليه السلام, I will not cease traveling until I reach the junction of the two seas, or I continue for a long period. In other words, he had such a thirst, he had such a desire to acquire knowledge, that the moment he found out he wasn't number one in that category, he said, I don't care how long it takes, I'm just going to keep going. You have to ask yourself, are we living up to that legacy? If this is what it means to be a Muslim, if this is what it means to submit yourself to Allah, if these are our role models that we say we want to follow there, in their footsteps, then you have to ask yourself this very important question. When was the last time I had that attitude? That I looked at a certain top spot and I said to myself, that's where I need to be. That's what I need to follow. We have to all make, I can't do it for you. You have to look at yourself in the mirror. You have to assess for yourself and say, wait a second. If I'm going to attribute Islam to myself, if I'm going to stand and say, yes, alhamdulillah, I am a Muslim, what does that mean? Yes, it implies many different things. I eat halal. I pray my prayers. Of course, these things are included. But part of it is to recognize that we come from a legacy of greatness. We come from a legacy of people who have the highest goals. And if you don't have that in your own life, then you have to ask yourself, What is lacking in my Islam? Why am I not living up to those who came before me? Musa alayhi salam, again, reached such a position, reached such a maqam, such a high status, that he was known as Kalimullah, the one who spoke with Allah. And Allah mentions that when he had that opportunity to speak with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what was his attitude? Allah says, وَلَمَّا جَاءَ مُوسَى لِمِيقَاتِنَا. And when Musa alayhi salam arrived for our appointed time, وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ. And his Lord spoke to him. You think this would be enough? His Lord spoke to him directly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking with Musa alayhi salam. You think he's going to be satisfied? What is he saying? قَالَ رَبِّي أَرِنِي أَنْظُرْ إِلَيْكَ. He says, my Lord, let me see you so that I can look at you. I want to see you. I don't just want to be the one who spoke with Allah. I want to be the one who gets to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. I want to take it to the next step. You've already reached the top. Nobody's beat you. You're number one. That's not enough. I still want to go higher. Again, we have to ask ourselves, do I have that attitude? When I reach the maximum, when I get the highest score, do I want to then get higher than that? If you reach 100%, you want to also get 100 plus the bonus marks. Do you have that attitude in the things that you do? And if not, then are we even living up to the legacy of Musa alayhi salam? And once again, we all have to assess ourselves and our own lives in what are you striving for? We know this is the case even when it comes to worldly things. When it comes to Sulaiman alayhi salam, not worldly things for the sake of greed or hoarding, but for the sake of spreading good. Sulaiman alayhi salam had the greatest kingdom the world has ever known. This planet Earth has never seen a kingdom like the kingdom of Sulaiman, Solomon alayhi salam. And yet, he wanted to be number one so bad that it wasn't enough for him to have the best in history to that point. He said, no, even in the future I want to have the best. What was his dua? Sulaiman alayhi salam says, قَالَ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَهَبَ لِي مُلْكَ لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّن بَعْدِي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابِ. He says, I know, you can imagine, he's thinking, I know that nobody's had a kingdom like mine yet, but maybe somebody's going to compete with me in the future, so I'm going to make this dua. And he makes this prayer, he says, my Lord, forgive me and grant me a kingdom such as will not belong to anybody after me. So before or after, I want to be number one. And for what sake? So that he can have such a great kingdom. Why? To spread goodness. He doesn't want to be beat in that category. He wants to be somebody who always calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and spreads the most good. And of course, when we look at whether it be Musa alayhi salam, whether it be Sulaiman alayhi salam, we can't forget, of course, that we follow the closest example that we have, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know that the Prophet ﷺ has taught us that there is one spot in Jannah. Of course there is Jannah. It has many different tabaqat. It has many different layers and levels. And we always want to rise to the highest level. But there's one spot for one single person. And the Prophet ﷺ, as our example, said, and I want to be that person. And that's why we make the dua. After every time you hear the adhan, what are you supposed to say? The Prophet ﷺ taught us to say, اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آتي محمد الوصيلة والفضيلة وبعث مقام محمودا الذي وعدته. And what does that mean? When you hear the adhan, you're supposed to make this dua. Oh Allah, Lord of this perfect call and of this established prayer, give Muhammad the right of intercession and illustriousness and resurrect him in the best and highest place that in paradise that you promised him. We all as an ummah, we listen to the adhan 5 times a day and we're making this dua. The Prophet ﷺ taught his ummah, make dua for me because I have to get that top spot. This is called, you know, وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. In this, let the competitors compete. This is ulu al-himmah. This is having high aspirations. This is pushing yourself to your top spot and recognizing that you only have one life to live and that this life is very short and there's no time to waste. So why not, as they say, aim for the moon and if you miss, at least you'll be amongst the stars, right? It's a very nice expression. It has a lot of truth to it. That aim as high as you can, and even if you don't get exactly what you wanted, you'll still have gotten such a great achievement because you tried and you gave it your all and you gave it your best. That is the example that Islam teaches us. And I want to give one more example, inshallah, because somebody might listen to this and they say to themselves, these are all prophets. I can't keep up with a prophet. Okay, fine. Let's remember the example of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, the 8th Khalifa of Islam. He has an amazing quote. Inna li nafsan tawaqatan. He says, you know, I've always had high aspirations. This is who I am. This is a beautiful quote from him. He says, you know, throughout my life, I've always had such high aspirations. وَمَا حَقَّقْتُ شَيْئًا إِلَّا تَاقَتْ لِمَا هُوَ أَعْلَى مِنْهُ. And whenever I achieved something, I always want something higher than that. I'd always want something, I'd have high aspirations, I'd aim high, and then whenever I get it, I always want more. And then he gives examples. تاقت نفسي إلى الزواج من بنت عمي فاطمة بنت عبد الملك فزوجتها. He says, I always wanted to marry Fatima bint Abd al-Malik. She was a princess. She was known in the kingdom, in the whole Islamic empire. She was known as the princess who was the most beautiful. And he says, I always wanted to marry her. And I did. I married her. So he aimed, he had a goal. He wanted to work hard and impress her father, Abd al-Malik. And he achieved that goal. He's like, I always wanted to marry her, and I married her. Then next. ثُمَّ تَاقَتْ نَفْسِي إِلَى الْأَمْءِ إِمَارَةً فَوَلِيتُهَا. And then I had another goal. I said to myself, I want to be a governor. And I achieved it. I became a governor. He became the governor of Medina. His generosity and his kindness became widespread. He was known as such an amazing governor. And then after that, he's like, look, I've achieved everything. I've achieved such a high spot. I'm a governor of Medina, of all the places. SubhanAllah. I had a goal. I want to marry the princess, the most beautiful girl. And I achieved that. What next? Then he says to himself, وَتَاقَتْ نَفْسِي إِلَى الْخِلَافَةِ فَنِلْتُهَا. Then what I wanted was, I wanted to become the Khalifa. This is talking about being the Khalifa, the Caliph of the Islamic Empire when it spanned all the way from Spain to China. This was the greatest empire on earth. He wanted that number one spot. He says, I wanted the Khilafa, and I got it. I achieved it. Now he doesn't know where else to go. What else can you possibly do? So what does he finally conclude with? He says, وَالْآنْ تَاقَتْ نَفْسِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ فَأَرْجُوا أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا. And now, all I want, my aspiration, I aspire to enter into paradise, to go to Jannah. And I would hope, and I hope that I'll be from amongst its people. In other words, he realizes, this world can only offer so much. I only have so much time here. There's only one step higher than this, and that is making it into paradise. To eternally be in Allah's reward, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst them. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. And he says, and I obviously he can't say I've done it, so all he can say is, and I hope that I have achieved it. I hope that I will be amongst them. And inshallah we'll continue with the second khutbah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa sallam kathira. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. When we take a look at our personal records, people say, hey, what's your PR? What's your personal record? And usually when people say these things, they're usually referring to perhaps, how many push-ups can you do? How far can you run? How many miles can you run? How much, whatever it may be. You know, what was the most amount of hours you've studied for an exam? You know, how long can you just cram in a row? And so most people, you usually have an idea of what their record is. Oh, well, when I was in good shape, my record, I could run this far, and I could do this many push-ups, and I could do this and that. And that's great. It's good to know your limits. It's good to know how far you can push yourself. That way you always have a goal that you can push more, inshallah ta'ala. The question is, why don't we have that same attitude when it comes to our deen? Why not when it comes to, let's say for instance, what was the longest amount of time you spent to make dua? 10 minutes? 15 minutes? 20 minutes? How many raka'ah can you pray in a row? What was your max? Not to say that you have to do it all the time, but shouldn't you at least have an idea? How long can you sit and read Qur'an for? An hour? 2 hours? How long have you gone for? How many pages can you go through? It's important that we have some idea. If you have no idea whatsoever, if you have no idea how much dua you can make, how much dhikr you can make, how much Qur'an you can read, if you don't even know what was the most amount of charity you've ever given, that would be kind of sad, wouldn't it? You know, if you can't even say that, you know, one time I saved up a lot of money, I had this intention, the most I ever gave, I don't know, $2,000. That's the biggest achievement I've ever had. If you don't even know, if you never even assess yourself, then how can you ever compete with yourself? How can you ever know if you're going forward, going backwards, if you're stagnant? You won't know. You have no means of assessment. So let's take our deen seriously, the same way you would with your body, the same way you would with your examinations in class, the same way you would with your evaluation from your boss. Tell yourself, I'm not going to take my deen lightly, I'm going to take it seriously, and I'm going to genuinely evaluate myself and actually make personal records for myself. Set goals and achieve them, and then push those records. That's the only way towards improvement, especially if we come from a legacy of high achievement. So the question is, why is it that we don't achieve as high as we should? I want to give a very simple example that I think is very relevant. If you don't remember anything else, please just remember this one analogy, inshallah ta'ala. I want to give you the analogy because myself, I deal with people often when it comes to helping them learn Qur'an, encouraging them to become regular in reading the Qur'an, memorizing the Qur'an. And so oftentimes I'll have conversations and say, okay, try to set a daily goal. Oftentimes, I've seen this happen over and over again. A person will say, okay, my daily goal is 20 pages a day. I'm going to read 20 pages a day. Let's say. They try, they're successful day one, day two, but then, you know, life gets difficult, and then they fail. And then they realize, I don't know, some time goes by, they say, you know what, 20 was too much, obviously, I'll go down to 10. Seems like the logical thing to do. They go down to 10 a day, they start reading 10 pages a day, they're successful for a few days, and then they realize it's a little too much for me. You know, I wasn't able to keep up due to work, due to school, due to whatever, my schedule. I wasn't able to keep up. So they do the logical thing, they bring it down to 5 pages a day. This is where things get interesting. They try for several days, they accomplish their goal for day after day, five pages a day, etc., and then what happens? Then it gets difficult upon them, they fail, and then now everybody's expecting, okay, bring it down to 2 pages a day, bring it down to 3 pages, bring it down to 1 page a day, but they can't. And this is what I think is so fascinating. Because once they get down to the spot of about 5 pages a day, their ego will not allow them to admit that I can't achieve more than that. Their ego won't allow them to look at themselves in the mirror and say, you are only capable of 1 page a day. It hurts too much. It's too painful to genuinely assess where you actually are. Even if that is the reality. If the reality is that you can only read 1 page a day, that is your max, that is all you can accomplish on a consistent basis, you would rather just quit and drop the whole project because to actually look at myself in the mirror and say, this is all I can handle, I can't do that. It's just too much. It hurts. Whether I admit it to others or not, even if it's just admitting it to myself, I can't do that. And this is what holds people back, I think, more than anything else. The pain of genuinely assessing yourself as low as you actually are. And we all have different areas that we are weak in, and we don't want to look there. We don't want to examine it, because it hurts too much. So you know what? I'll focus on the things that I'm good at. I'll focus on my strengths, because that's where I get my reward. That feeds the ego. But to genuinely assess that I am actually weak in this area, no thanks. And so that is something, there's a nice quote actually from Carl Jung, the famous psychologist, psychoanalyst. He says, modern men don't see God because they don't look low enough. And this is exactly what he's referring to. The modern man, he can't achieve that greatness. He can't reach high enough. He will never, reach his potential. In other words, see God as in get closer to God and find that genuine happiness. Why can't he do that? What is his problem? Because he can't look low enough. He can't admit to himself that my starting point is way, way, way low. So we shouldn't have this negative hang up. We need to genuinely assess ourselves. If you're not able to read Alif Ba Ta, then just face that. Face it. And say, you know what, I'm going to start from the basics. I want to get closer to this Qur'an. I'm going to start with Alif Ba Ta. Some people, they've reached a certain age and they will not be corrected in Tajweed. Why? It's too embarrassing. No, I will not sit amongst a bunch of little kids learning how to pronounce Kha and Ayn and Ha. I can't do that. So they will not look low enough. They will not genuinely assess themselves. And this type of kibr, it will always hold you back. True assessment is always very difficult, but it's better to face reality voluntarily than to ignore it, put it off, and let those problems get worse and worse, and then be forced to face it later on. That's not what we want. The Prophet ﷺ says what? At-ta'anni min Allah wal-ajala min ash-shaytan. That deliberation, meticulousness, and prudence, this is from Allah. And hastiness and carelessness, this is from shaytan. In fact, to the point that prudence and carefulness is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the point that when we look at the history of humanity, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first describes how human beings were created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the creation of the universe as what? هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Allah says what? It is He who has created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Why 6 days? Many people ask this question. Allah can just say, كُنْ فَيَكُونَ, be and it is. Allah can just make things in the blink of an eye. Why did Allah create this universe in 6 days? When you look into tafsir, when you actually study exegesis and find out the cause and the reasoning behind it, it's very beautiful. The idea is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to create this universe in such a way to demonstrate to humanity the importance of taking your time. Allah doesn't need to take His time. Allah doesn't need to create the universe in 6 days. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did so that we can learn that when we do something important, even though He doesn't need to, He did. So I need to, therefore I must. There's no question. There's no debate. because of my weakness. Allah has no weakness, and yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his time with this matter. Why? Just to teach me that I do have weakness, and therefore I must take my time. It is a lesson to humanity that we need to do things slowly, meticulously, gradually, incrementally, inshallah ta'ala. That is the best way moving forward. And another thing that inhibits us from genuinely achieving high goals is when we let shaitan trick us into feeling a sense of accomplishment when we've done nothing. So my advice to everyone is this: don't allow yourself to feel a false sense of accomplishment. How does this happen? Well, let me know if this sounds familiar, inshallah. You receive an article, an email, a tweet, a Facebook post that talks about some sort of good cause. You don't read it, you don't donate to the page, it announces an event. You don't go to the event, but you take that message and you send it off to everybody else. You forward it to all your contacts. Here's some article. I didn't read it, you can. I didn't donate, you can. I didn't go to the event, you can. And now you give yourself a false sense of accomplishment. I'm helping. I'm doing something. I'm actually contributing to humanity. Look, yes, maybe inshallah ta'ala, it's possible. It's possible that somebody else received that message and they benefited from it. So inshallah, maybe there's some good in it. But you're not truly reaching your potential. You're not really doing what you should do by simply putting a band-aid over the issue. By simply saying, oh, well, I forwarded something, so I've done my part. Oh, I posted something on the internet, I've done my part. That is simply not sufficient. Considering your capabilities, considering what you're actually capable of, you should not aim so low. It's very unfortunate and very sad when things go wrong, when there's a problem in the world, when there's a problem somewhere on the planet or even in this city, whatever the case may be. And then we hear that same tired, infamous phrase, perhaps the most useless phrase, the most useless sentence in all of human history: somebody should do something. How often do you hear this? How often do people declare as if they've discovered something? Somebody should do something. Thank you very much for your non-contribution, Captain Obvious. It's not helpful. There's a term for this. It's called virtue signaling. I don't know if you've heard this term, but virtue signaling is defined as the action or practice of publicly expressing opinions or sentiments intended to demonstrate one's good character and moral correctness in a certain position on a particular issue. In other words, you're trying to let everybody know your moral superiority. But the question is this: do you plan to suggest anything? Do you have an actual plan to fix the problem? Will you contribute any money, any time, any energy? Will you even offer any ideas? If not, then please, the next time you feel the urge to make this statement, someone should do something, grab your tongue, bite your tongue, hold it down and say no. Until I actually have something to contribute, I will not just state the obvious and say, someone should do something. And it's very unfortunate. It's very unfortunate when you find that a problem takes place and people they just want to yell and get mad and get emotional. We have to recognize that real solutions take a lot of time. It doesn't make any sense. For example, you see certain people, there's a problem, let's say, in the government. Something, you know, some certain corruption or whatnot, which is a genuine problem. Going out on the streets and yelling or breaking a car, does that really accomplish anything? Maybe getting your opinion heard, maybe there's some good in that. But at the end of the day, if you genuinely want to fix something as complex as a government, don't you think you're going to have to sit and study for many years before you can even understand what the problem is, let alone the solution? We have to be realistic. Real problems are complex. I even talked about it last week. The problem of our time is that we want everything simplified. These are the bad guys, these are the good guys. Just yell and everything will go away. It doesn't work like that. Real problems take a lot of deliberation, require lots of effort, and only after a long time of studying the issue, then perhaps you can come up with a solution. And then implementing that solution might take even longer. But it's a life worth living to actually try to do something of genuine benefit instead of simply just getting mad and complaining. Far too many people, they want to get loud, they want to yell the most, they want to express their rage at a certain evil. They want to make sure that they're the learnest, they're the loudest, without actually making any effort to A, learn the problem, B, fix the problem, and yet C, they are the loudest person. This is completely unacceptable. We have to make sure that we stay away from these types of actions. And so to summarize, I want to simply end off by saying that this Islam is a deen that we have, alhamdulillah, been guided upon, and that a quality of a practicing, strong, righteous Muslim is what? Is that you aim high. That is the quality of being a Muslim, that you aim very high. And to aim high doesn't mean that you try to do something very big, very fast. Rather, it means to genuinely take an assessment of yourself. And even if that assessment makes you realize that you're actually very, very low, you have to be able to start from the bottom. So you have to aim high, but the starting point might be very low. You have to have the humility to swallow that pill, to look at yourself in the mirror, and say, I can only handle one page a day, for example. So firstly, we have to aim high. Secondly, that you have to take a genuine assessment of yourself. And thirdly, do not take comfort in simply virtue signaling, in simply yelling your opinions, in stating the obvious and saying, this is wrong, this is bad, someone should do something, I'm angry, I'm gonna go and yell and protest. No, that is not sufficient. Getting mad and expressing your rage doesn't actually help in the long term. If you're going to voice an opinion, stop yourself. Before expressing any rage towards anything going on in society, ask yourself, what am I willing to contribute with my time, with my wealth, with my energy, with my ideas? What am I actually willing to do something? And if not, then I'm going to simply not offer my opinion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who aim high. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who take genuine assessment of ourselves. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who try to work towards real solutions and not simply big displays of emotionality. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم كثيرا والسلام وأقم الصلاة